brothers and sisters, I'd like to return tonight to the important subject of discipline, of what we call biblical or church discipline. And again, to say this is a really vital topic for us to consider, not just because we faced enormous difficulties with our former presbytery, but because, as we looked at last time, church discipline is an essential mark of the church. A true church must faithfully preach God's word. It must faithfully serve and administer God's sacraments. And a true church must faithfully administer discipline if she's to be a true and holy church. And I wanted to turn again to Ephesians chapter 4, really just again beginning the introduction and laying out something of the big picture of what discipline is all about. And I'm picking up from where we left it last time. And the reason I think this passage is so helpful is because it puts before us the positive, comprehensive meaning of discipline. It gives us a really positive vision and explanation of what church discipline is really all about. Church discipline is not just about obvious and serious sins that have to be perhaps dealt with formally and the sanctions the church might enact. No, first and foremost, discipline is a hugely positive thing, because as this passage is telling us, it's about the building up of the body of Christ for God's glory. It's about the body of Christ being disciplined, trained, corrected, maturing, so that together we are growing up into the fullness of Christ. And we've got this wonderful image that comes up many times in the New Testament, that the church is the body. And if it helps to picture it that way, obviously some of our bodies are a little flabby because we've been indulging too much in worldly things. Or perhaps we have not been exercising and there's a lack of strength. Or perhaps there's injuries and decay and arthritis and things. And the body has to be worked on, and there has to be discipline to keep it healthy so it can be all that it can be. So it is in the church. And that's what the discipline is really about. And as this passage speaks about the effective working that flows down from Christ our head to build up and edify and beautify the body, that's really speaking to us about the work of the Holy Spirit. Discipline is part of his gracious work, that he's sanctifying us. He's working through the church so that we are all being prepared for heaven, edified, built up, made beautiful and glorious, growing up into Christ. So this passage sets before us this glorious vision of what church discipline is and this glorious end goal. Or if you think of Paul's words to the Colossians, he says his goal is to present every man perfect in Christ. Every man complete in Christ. It's about learning to live as a son and a daughter of God. You're no longer an orphan living out on a scrap heap, scrabbling around in the dirt. You're now an heir of the king in the palace and learning to live that way. Well, after all that we looked at last time about why church discipline is important and how important the right spirit of it is, it's about recovery and reconciliation and restoration. It's never about revenge. It's never about ruining somebody. It's not about retribution. Well, tonight I want to pick up on what it says in verse 15. Because I believe it really reminds us of some foundational truths about church discipline. And it says there, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." And the key truth that I believe is expressed in that verse that I want to share with you is that church discipline is ministerial. is ministerial. We often, when church discipline is talked about and discussed, and it's in the textbooks, we talk about it being ministerial. Well, what does that mean? Well, yes, primarily, it's going to be done by ministers and elders in the church. If we look to verse 11 and 12, those verses speak about those who are particularly gifted and given certain callings in the body. Certainly pastors and teachers, elders, will take on the leadership role in discipline, in building up the body, and have a responsibility before Christ for that. But that's not really what we mean when we talk about church discipline being ministerial. What we really mean by that is that disciplines carried out through teaching and instruction by rebukes and censures, by verbal communication. Church discipline is not martial or civil. It doesn't involve punishments or force. It's not to be confused with the role of the state, where God has the authority to, he's given to the state that they can use the sword, as Paul says in Romans. If somebody is breaking the law and they're committing crimes, the state has a God-given power to arrest them, to seize people, to, against their will, detain them and punish them and deter them. And that's sadly necessary in a sinful and fallen world. But church discipline is not like that. It's something wholly different. It's never about force. It's never about coercion. It's never about punishment. It is fundamentally about confronting someone with the truth. That's what it's about. It's about the power of the truth. Teaching someone the truth about their sin and their need to repent, exposing that to them, and that in the church we have the authority to do that, to speak the word of God for God, to challenge someone about their sin. But you see what I mean, that it's ministerial. It's not about the exercise of force or an undue pressure. It's not about control or harming people or punishing. In recent history, you probably know there was this really odd scandal in the Anglican Church just a few years ago, where it emerged that some of its senior leaders on kind of camps said that they were disciplining and discipling young men by whipping them and making them get naked and do kind of strange things. And I mean, that's just bizarre. Or you could think back in history to when the Roman corrupt church, particularly during the medieval period, seized hold of, if you liked, the sword from the hands of the state, and saw that as an exercise of church discipline, to interrogate people, to torture people, to imprison people, and all of those kinds of things. Well, as it says here, that's not biblical church discipline. Biblical church discipline is speaking the truth in love so the church is built up. You see this point that I'm making, but it's so important. Because, of course, it also means that the church can only teach and govern according to the word of God. The truth, as it's spoken about in the verse, means the truth given to us by God, revealed by God, that we've got in the word of God. And the church and its leaders can only confront and correct and condemn what the Bible says is a sin. And it must do that, or it disobeys the word of God. But the church cannot go beyond this. And again, this is so important. Discipline can't challenge something that's not a sin, according to Scripture. Can't go beyond the word of God. Doesn't matter if it's been something that's a long-standing tradition, or if it's very sincerely believed, or whether it's something that the majority might even say is wrong. The only standard, if it's ministerial discipline, the only standard is, thus says the Lord. What does the word of God say? Because again, there's always this great danger, and we perhaps feel an apprehension that church discipline is misused, is abused. There can be authoritarian leaders, and there could be a domineering, a bullying of folks. But again, that is so very, very far from speaking the truth in love to edify and build up the body. See, as a Christian, you've got a great deal of liberty and freedom. And there's many, many matters of indifference where the scripture is silent. And you have freedom. Trusting in God's sovereign will and what he's ordained, you have freedom to make decisions about many things. If you want to move to a different job, maybe it suits you better, or better pay, it's better for the family, and it means moving away from the church, you're free to do so. It would be quite wrong for then, say, a church or minister to say, well, that's a sin, to try and impose something about that. That kind of thing happens. Or if someone says, look, I don't think I can belong to this church anymore. I think I need to leave. You know, some of my views have changed and so on. And for there to be kind of attacks and pressures, and you can't do that. It's going beyond the right that people have to free conscience. Or perhaps as a Christian, you like to play football. Maybe you like ballroom dancing, or maybe you like eating meat on Fridays. You cannot say, the church cannot command that those things are sinful or wrong within the bounds of all the other commandments. And of course, we'd also have to say, true to the word of God, that there are degrees of sin. Not all sins are equally serious. Or you could say one mistake versus repeated unrepentance is very different as well. And so we can say as well, if that's true, and it's only according to what the word of God commands and teaches. It's not about opinion. It's not about what we would choose or our agendas. And also, if it's ministerial, it means that the church's censures are spiritual. Now, that in no way diminishes their power, importance. They're of eternal significance. But they're spiritual. And again, I hope in weeks ahead that we'll be looking at some of these things. But there are rebukes. There are warnings. There's correction. There can be an excluding from the sacraments. There can be the ultimate censure of a formal excommunication. What the purpose and aim of all of those censures, as we focused on last time, is the recovery of the sinner. It is restoration and repentance. And these things are spiritual. It's not about attacking somebody's job and livelihood or their well-being, their health, or any of those things. So speaking the truth in love, that's the positive vision of what it's really about. It's ministerial. But really, the last thing I just wanted to say as an introduction is none of that should make us underestimate how powerful speaking the truth is. There's tremendous life-changing, soul-saving power in church discipline because it's bringing the truth. It's bringing the light of Christ on a dark soul that's in sin. And it is powerful. All sins in a person's life, this is a bold statement, but I think pretty much all sins in a person's life come out of lies. Lies that they've believed, lies that they've told themselves, lies where the devil's got them to believe something untrue. And sin flows out of it. The devil lies to Adam and Eve in the garden, and they sin. They believe the lie. He lies to the Lord Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, and the Lord, of course, sees straight through it all. And before a person commits a sin outwardly, they've gone wrong in their heart first. And what will have gone wrong is there's some lie, there's some untruth they've told themselves to justify or excuse the sin. Lies like there won't be any consequences. Lies like it's different if I do it. I've got a good reason. Lies like, I deserve this. I've had a hard time, so I should have this. Lies like, no one will know. It's just a bit of fun. Lies like, I couldn't help it. I've no willpower. I'm addicted. It's natural. It's all lies that are in the heart that lead somebody to sin. And what really changes a believer's life, what really transforms a Christian, so you overcome sin and grow in Christ, is you're changed by the power of the truth. The truth sets free. The truth about your sin, that you are evil, your sin is miserable and pointless. It just leads to ruin and suffering and destruction. There's the truth that in Christ we can change and we can overcome the flesh. And that by the Holy Spirit we are made new creations. And as a Christian walks with Christ, the growth is they learn to identify the lies they've been believing and excusing their sin, the untruths they've been telling themselves, and the truth transforms them into holy and godly people. So never forget, in church discipline, we are speaking the truth of God's word. And God's word is powerful. Somebody rushing headlong into sin that's going to destroy them. But God's word is so powerful it can arrest them and save them. God spoke creation into existence. He has inspired the scriptures by his powerful spirit. And he can free people from sin and give new life when they hear the truth according to his word. You probably know that the New Testament word for truth, it's really related to a word in the Greek that means reality. What's really real? And God tells us the truth, what's really real. How life really does work, how it's meant to work. And when someone's sinning, they're going against reality and against God and the order he's made. And it's living in a dream world. It's one gigantic lie. Well, the truth sets free. So it's enormously powerful. We say it's ministerial and say, well, what good could that do if there's no sword? There's the sword of the Spirit, the power of the word of God. To say, no, thus says the Lord, this is wrong. And this is right. And it calls people back to reality. So again, there's a role for all of us to play as a church. We're to speak the truth. That's the part of discipline we're all taking part in every day. Speak the truth. Not telling obvious lies. But speaking and sharing the truth with one another in a comprehensive way. Growing in our understanding. Speaking the word of God to one another. Challenging one another. Encouraging one another. With the truth of the word of God. So brothers and sisters, that's over 2 weeks, something of an introduction. And I hope that the Lord will help us to come back to these things next Wednesday. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so faithfully. That you discipline us. That you do not let your children continue in sin to their own hurt. And we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. That your word has been inspired by your spirit and is given to us. And it speaks to us so clearly and powerfully. Lord, we pray that you would expose to us the lies about sin that we have been believing. And that you would teach us, Lord, to walk in the truth. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to speak the truth to one another. So that together, Lord, we're being built up as the body of Christ. Edified and made holy. For his sake. Amen.